favorite show, the Heather Nursery Gardening Corner. Now, here are those two wild and crazy gardening guys, Dwayne Hasted and Terry Overlander, ready to take your questions at 598-7301 or 598-FM92.
Well, it's time for the Gardening Corner with Dwayne Hasted, and we have Dwayne via telephone this morning.
Hey, Terry and everybody else. Sure is a nice day out there with the sunshine.
Oh, boy, it gets you anxious for gardening. You woke up Monday morning and a lot of disheartened people out there.
Oh, well, but that was good fertilizer. Brings down a lot of nitrogen. You got some moisture and... about time to replanting. It's getting nicer out there.
Well, I know there was a lot of people that were concerned. I saw on Facebook and other people asking me, you know, well, gee, what about my tulips? What about my bleeding hearts? What's going to happen to some of these perennials coming up? And you know, I kind of did a tour of the yard last night, and everything looks fine out there except for the rhubarb. But, you know, the tulips and bleeding hearts, and they can take some of that stuff, right?
They take that cold, you know, and I think they look good, you know, daylilies even. All look good out there, so I think they know a little better than we even do. So the dandelions even look good.
Yeah,
they are in bloom today. The sun shines out and they're growing like crazy.
Well, I sprayed last fall, and I don't know if I missed these spots or what's going on, but boy, there seems to be some dandelions. I don't know, do they what happens there? I mean, I sprayed last fall and I should have taken care of them, or I thought, well, maybe I missed that spot or something.
You almost have had to miss that spot, and sometimes if you got, you know, you pull it, a tank or whatever, you can see a little area where it wasn't covered as well, or if you're spraying and you're not, don't overlap, you can sometimes see where you've missed a few dandelions, so.
Yeah, and you can spray in the spring, but I still say fall is the best time, you know, I know the neighbor lot over next to me. Man, is there dandelions there? And I suppose they'll all go to seed, and the seed will blow into mine again now. So
that's exactly the way it happens. You know, the dandelion has to be the second year before it blooms. So those seeds will blow in, and then they grow, and then next year they'll bloom.
So the way the dandelion works now, these things will go to seed now this spring here, and they'll seed, and they'll start growing a new plant yet this summer that won't bloom,
That won't bloom, and the next year, it has to be the next year that'll bloom again.
Okay, now...
that'll bloom. And the ones that are there will still be there, and they'll bloom again. They usually bloom in the fall again.
Okay, now these that bloom, if you don't spray, will they grow again next year and the following year, or is it a two-year biennial?
No, it's not. It'll keep growing. It'll be there. It's a perennial.
Oh, it is. Okay.
No.
So
it's not okay.
They'll grow forever if you don't spray it. Well, you know... they actually do have some benefit. You can actually eat the leaves, and some people make wine out of them. You can make tea out of the roots, and, you know, they are not native to the United States. They were brought over by our European ancestors.
Exactly, and I think you can make a lot of wine this year.
Yeah.
But if people have any questions, make sure you call them in, and would be glad to answer those. And, you know, Mother's Day is just around the corner, too, so if you're looking, we have some gorgeous hanging baskets. And all the our greenhouses are full, ready to go, and anywhere from, you know, it's still plenty early to put your tomatoes in, but the cabbage and, you know, kale and broccoli and that type of stuff, and onions, radishes, and all that type of stuff can go in your garden.
Yeah, I've got some of that stuff that's already growing, which is kind of nice to see. The asparagus, I see it must have had a couple of nice days because that started growing again. I'm going to have to do some picking. I was kind of concerned, you know, I've had snow before when the asparagus is coming up, and if you get a layer of snow, it kind of turns the stem into mush and they'll bend over in that. But I guess we didn't get enough snow or cold enough temperatures because it all looked fine over there. There was a thing on Facebook not too long ago, and I've had some people ask me about this. You know, they said, ask Dwayne, what's he say about this rhubarb? You know, they said with the cold temperatures, it was causing the edges of the leaves to turn brown, and some were curling up, and there was some concern. You know, the leaves of rhubarb are poisonous, and they were thinking that if this happened to the rhubarb, that I forget what it's called, transfers down into the stems, and you don't want to use the stems because that poison from the leaves goes into the stems or whatever. Have you ever heard or anything about that?
I've never heard that. I've always heard that the leaves are poisonous, but I suppose some of that could translocate back down there, but I would have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever worried about that, but probably have to do some research or something. But because I noticed there's a few on my rhubarb plants where the leaves kind of have the brown edges and are curling up and that, so, but I've never worried about it before.
You're going to have a lot of stalks there, so, if they are curling, cut those off and, get rid of them, and, your rhubarb will shoot out new stalks, and so just harvest those.
Yeah. Yep.
If you want to be safe.
Yeah, and, I'm looking forward to that first rhubarb crisp that Becky's going to make me. I always kind of like that stuff with ice cream, especially when it's still warm.
You're a lucky man, Terry.
Well, anyway, the rhubarb's doing well, and everything. It's so nice and green and lush out there with all this rain and moisture that we've had. And, it's a lot different than last year. Last year was actually on the dry side when about this
we
time.
We have rhubarb plants that we always get in the spring, and we get a big, huge root, and we plant it up. So if you're looking for red rhubarb, we have that. Also have asparagus. We have a new one this year. It's called Supreme Jersey Giant. So it's supposed to be an improvement. And then we also have that purple passion if you want purple asparagus.
Yeah, and I've got some of that.
Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, well, I got some of those roots from you a number of years ago, yeah. And they're huge. The spears coming up, they're just huge. And they are purple in color, but they kind of turn green when you cook them up. And, I very similar to green asparagus. Tastes pretty much the same as far as I'm concerned. But the spears seem to be a lot thicker and bigger than some of the green ones that I have. Yeah, now I'm starting to find asparagus where I never had it before. It's kind of self-seeding and starting some new plants for me, but that's okay because we love asparagus.
Yeah, asparagus is hard to beat.
Yeah.
Besides gardening, we're busy. We just got two semi-loads of trees and shrubs in. We have some bare root trees.
Yeah, that somebody has said, ask Dwayne now, has he got any bare root trees this year? Is he going to have?
Yep, they're here. So if you're looking for, we have a list there. Come in and look. They're in Montevideo, though.
Yeah.
Because we have to keep them in colder storage and straw over the roots so they, don't dry out. Also got a trailer load of already potted trees and shrubs, so come and check those out. And we grow a lot of perennials, and we're also, some of those perennials are hard to find. I found the Sunnyside Gardens, who supplies us with some plants, had some unusual perennials, so they're coming in today. So if you're looking for different things, we have a great supply of plants this year.
Okay. Oh, somebody wanted to know, too, is it too late to put crabgrass preventer down? And I said, I don't think so. I'll ask Dwayne, but, we've had these cooler temperatures, and I don't know if it's starting to germinate or grow yet or what, but what have you seen or heard?
The bigger question would be, is it too early to put crabgrass preventer down?
Oh, okay.
No, definitely not too late, because crabgrass doesn't grow until it's warm, and our soil temperatures are still cool, and I wouldn't be afraid to put crabgrass preventer down until through the month of May.
Okay, and that's always in a granular form, right?
It's not. You can get it without, in a liquid form, but I think it's just as cheap, plus you get fertilizer with it when you buy it as a granular form, and it's usually done as a granular spread with fertilizer.
Yeah, well, it's going to be starting pretty soon because I think I saw in the future some temperatures in the 80s for us.
There you go. So time to fertilize your lawn, get the crabgrass preventer down, slow-release fertilizer, and then we usually do a spray for dandelions with Trimec. We sure have had a lot of people come in and say, Creeping Charlie is crazy out there.
Oh, man, I was just looking over here at the radio station. We got a little patch over here, and man, it just is.
It's spreading like crazy.
Yeah, it's spreading like crazy, and just a vivid purple. And
Weed Be Gone does not kill Creeping Charlie. It's not strong enough. We have a product called Weed Free Zone, and that'll kill Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, I know you don't like to have
And not your grass.
I know you don't like to have Creeping Charlie in your lawn, but on the beneficial side, they say that the bees really like the flowers on Creeping Charlie.
Okay, keep Creeping Charlie on your neighbor's lawn.
Yeah, but the big thing is now is they're encouraging people to plant bee-friendly type flowers and plants in their garden.
Yep.
And also milkweed. The milkweed.
Milkweed is good for the butterflies because, you know, the monarchs only lay their eggs on milkweed, so we even sell milkweed plants.
Yeah, that's whoever thought that, huh?
Exactly. On the farm, we used to get rid of those things.
And I also saw now that they were talking about this purslane. I hate that stuff, but they're talking about how nutritious it is, and they're saying that greenhouses actually sell that stuff too. I find that hard to believe.
I think that's illegal to do that. There's certain, you know, if it's declared a noxious weed, a greenhouse or, you know, a garden center can't sell that.
Yeah. And that's
purslane's got to almost be a noxious weed.
I know buckthorn too. That was one that was brought over by our European ancestors too, because it was a fast growing type hedge in that, and that's considered noxious and illegal to sell or transport too.
The Department of Agriculture comes and checks, you know, goes through our garden center and makes sure that we don't have any of
those. Oh, they do.
Buckthorn, I remember a number of years ago that, you know, they tell you that you got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And not plant, not sell it, get rid of it. No, you got to get rid of it.
Yep. Well, the average frost out date for our particular area is May 15th, and that is fast approaching, but a lot of people wait until the Memorial weekend before they put out their peppers and tomato plants and their...
Tomato plants, and also we've had a lot of call for sweet potato plants, and we get them from called Steel Plant Company in Tennessee, and they don't ship them out until it's warm out, so...
Yeah, I'll have to have you save me a couple of bundles because I'm going to have to share some with you. And they're getting to be more and more popular, and they're pretty easy to grow. And you and Betty have found some pretty neat recipes that you use for sweet potatoes.
Exactly, because, you know, being diabetic, you're not supposed to eat a lot of potatoes because that's a lot of, you know, starch and sugar in it. Sweet potatoes are a lot better for you. So I've been eating a lot of sweet potatoes, you know, made with different things, but sweet potatoes and onion together are great.
Yeah, I think you usually get three different varieties, and I usually go with the Georgia Jet.
Yep, Georgia Jet's a good one, and if people want some and we don't have them in, we have a list that we, you know, save them for people, so you're on the list, Terry.
Well, that's good. And like I said, if you've never grown them before, they're actually quite easy to grow, and I finally learned how to cure them so that I can store them for a length of time too, and we'll talk about that later this fall, you know, when we start harvesting sweet potatoes and that too. But we're running out of time, and I know Dwayne's on his way to the doctor, and hopefully gets a good checkup, and Dwayne's on the mend and doing much better, which is wonderful news.
Yep, I'm up and about and got shoes on and been telling people I have pants on, and they said that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, it's good you're on
the mend. Been driving, Terry, and walking, and people don't know I burnt my feet and have some skin grafts, so
yeah,
on the way to get them checked out, and doing much, much better, and feel good.
Well, that's good, and we'll let you continue on your way, and we'll talk with you next Thursday then, Dwayne.
Yep, everybody have happy gardening and enjoy the sunshine.
We will.
See ya.
Yep.